Good morning to each of you here. It is a blessing to be here. I think the song leaders are trying to tell us something. I've been blessed by the singing this morning. God is faithful, and the joys are flowing. May that be true in our hearts this morning. I'd like to greet you all in the name of Jesus. And on my behalf and on behalf of the church, I'd like to welcome you all here, especially those of you that are visiting. It is my prayer that you would feel the presence of Christ here this morning and that you would be encouraged. This weekend is the first Sunday in the new year, 5 days in, and I don't know how you guys do it, but I think that's about the time that all of our New Year's resolutions have gone out the window. Maybe some of you will last just a little bit longer, but I think maybe the numbers on the scale are going to start working their way up again. Mine do often. But in all seriousness, I am thankful for the year that we had. We can say that God is indeed faithful. We don't have to look far this week to know that there's people in our community that are probably feeling less excited this morning. We are dealing with the death of two young men. And I wanted to touch on one of those briefly. This Adam Clausen, he was a relative to my wife, and one that I didn't know personally, but have had some visiting and some information come my way about this young man's life. And the story touched me deeply, and it does still. When you think of a young man, a God-fearing man, as I believe he was, a teacher, a humble man, you might say, one that is okay with not earning top dollar pay somewhere, a family man, a young wife, two children. For us, it was too soon that God called him home. Fortunately for us, we don't get to make those kinds of decisions, and God makes no mistakes. But what's important to me about this story, about this young man, is that it's my understanding that shortly before his passing, he invited his family and probably his parents into his room to encourage them. I shared this in the German message, but that sounds backwards to us. This young man with his whole life ahead of him, on his deathbed, taking his last moment of time to encourage those around him. Those with a longer future than he had. And I have to ask myself, if that was me, would I have been of that mindset? Would my heart have been in that place? And where I'm going with that is that it gets us to thinking that this young man, based on his life and based on the peace that he had right before his death, and the fact that he's the encourager in the room, he was likely a young man that had made plans for eternity. That is something I want to speak on this morning. I want to share some thoughts with you. My plans for 19 didn't go as planned. All the things I thought I could get done and all the money I thought I would make, I spent most of the summer in a wheelchair at home because of an accident. But nonetheless, I'm thankful that God, even in that, he provided. And I'm not suggesting that planning is a bad idea, but I have learned in life that sometimes God changes our plans. I've learned the hard way to accept his addendums, as we call them in the business world. And for those of us that are not book smart, that is a noun. The definition is an additional material, typically omissions, so things that are left out. So an addendum, if you sign a business contract, most of the time somebody changes their mind about something after it's all been signed. And so you have a separate sheet of paper called an addendum, and those are the changes that we're going to make, and then both parties sign it. So God does that in our lives. When we've planned out the year, we've probably buttoned it down pretty good. And then here comes an addendum from God. And typically that will come at a price to us, a sacrifice. God will add, and we have to delete. So the question to us this morning is, what is your plan for eternity? We'll be spending some time in Philippians 3, verse 4 through 14. If you have your Bibles, turn there, please. And we want to look at three points. One is hindsight, looking back. One is insight, and the other is foresight. I'll go ahead and read those this passage, Philippians 3, 4, verse 14. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, and concerning righteousness which is in the law, blameless. For what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness which is from God by faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you this morning that you've given us this time to reflect on our past, where we can clearly see that you are still involved in our lives, Father. We thank you also for this opportunity as a congregation, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can gather once again in the presence of your holy face, Lord. And we just ask that you would give us grace at this time, wisdom, and courage as we look into your word. Lord, we give you the honor and the glory in advance for what you will do for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing we notice here in our text that we just read is Paul. He's not prideful, but it kind of lines up with what Peter was sharing just now. And he's giving us some ideas as to the reasons he would have had. In other words, he says, if any of you have confidence in the flesh, I more so. I'm better than you. And so the reasons that he gives us here that would have given him the right, so to speak, to be prideful is, number one, his pure Jewish bloodline, Hebrew of Hebrews. That's a big deal. We all know what happened with the half-inbreds. They were the Samaritans. And so the second thing is his position in the party of the Pharisees. probably well respected in that position. And he says in his behavior as such, as a Pharisee, he dares to say blameless. Blameless. And the third thing he's talking about here is his zeal. His zeal for the Jewish law. So in terms of the people around him, if that was his gauge, he had pretty well nailed it, I think is what the young people say. He had hit the mark. Paul was looking back, but he wasn't so rooted in his past that he couldn't see the insignificance of all the things we just talked about, his Jewish blood, his knowledge of the law, and his zeal in persecuting the church. He was looking back, but he wasn't so rooted in that he didn't see the fact that in comparison to the knowledge of Christ, a relationship with Christ, that his ways were garbage, rubbish as he calls it. He looked back and he saw clearly where he had come from. And this gave him a better picture of where he is today or at the time of this writing. Like Paul, it's good for us to consider our past, spiritually and physically. Notice the word consider and not dwell in or get hung up on. There's a distinction there. It's good to consider the past. It's not good to live in the past. But what it does when we look back is it helps us to do our best in the present. The time that we're in now, learn from your mistakes, is something we've often heard. And it also motivates us and gives us direction into a brighter future. It helps us to not be so nearsighted as Esau was. In order to simply satisfy his physical hunger there in a moment, he made the choice to trade his birthright, his inheritance, for a bowl of soup. Probably not Campbell's at that. King David had the same problem. He saw the neighbor lady, and for an immediate gratification of pleasure, he forfeited God's blessing in that way. So looking back can help us learn not to do that. I wanted to share a short example that'll give us a better picture of what it is that I'm talking about as far as looking back and not getting hung up on it. If Jesus is our Savior today, if he has given us a new life, then I'd like to share this short story about an 11-year-old boy with you. This boy was homeless, poor, oftentimes didn't have his next meal. And so one day, this young couple decided to adopt him, to make this young boy take him in to their home. So this paperwork, after everything gets settled, this young boy is still wearing his ragged, filthy clothes. And he comes into this new home, takes a bath, they give him new clothes, he gets his own bedroom. So he goes into that bedroom, and he takes his ragged clothes, folds them up, and puts them under his new mattress. After this couple has been showing him some love and some affection for some time, this young man is sitting in his room one day. His mother walks in. He's holding these clothes on his lap, and he's weeping. Mom says, "Son, why do you still have these clothes? Why are you weeping? You don't need them because you have new stuff. We're going to take care of you." And so they did. But the answer to this mom, the reply this young boy had for her was, "I keep them to remind me of what you did for me when I was wearing these clothes." He didn't put the clothes back on and carry them around, but he did look back from time to time. He'd pull them out from under the mattress. He'd take a good hard look at them. And what it did for him is it made him very appreciative, very thankful of what it is that these parents had done for him. And that's what I'm suggesting, that we look back on occasion, but when we do, we don't dwell on the mistakes. You can look back at sin, at poor choices in your life, and you can choose to focus on those poor choices. You can also choose to remember the lessons that that taught you. Maybe a lesson of think twice, look twice before you leap. I read a story a couple of weeks ago about a lion that thought having dinner delivered would be easier than going out and hunting. So one day another animal, maybe a sheep or something to that effect, it was a lazy lion, so he's walking past the den. And the lion says, come on in, let's eat, let's have a good meal, let's enjoy some fellowship, and you can go on your way. And this sheep says, no siree, thank you very much. I see several sets of tracks going into the cave that aren't yours, but I don't see any coming out. I'll just hang out over here. So think before you leap. We can look back at the sins in our lives, and we can dwell on them. We can let Satan use that to hold us back. Or we can dwell on the grace and the love and the Savior that forgave us those same sins. Maybe life is perfect. Everything's going good. Or you're thinking about a time where things were just great. And you see the blessings in your life. And what that can teach us is learning not to worry. Learning to trust God more in the fact that He has provided and will continue to do so. Reaching back in the file from time to time can also help us to make better choices, to build better relationships, and it will exercise our faith muscle. When we see how God helped us, when we see the dirty, filthy situation we were in, as was this boy, and where we see where God has brought us today, it helps us appreciate that. It helps us to know that God is still involved, He still cares, and He's still caring for us, physically even. Healthy hindsight leads to better insight for today. I'm going to go ahead and read verses 7 and 8 in Philippians 3. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for, here's the contrast, for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them all as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Paul describes it very well here. He had a healthy hindsight and a very good insight as to what was important in his life. It is my prayer that God would do that for us this morning and in this year to come, that He would give us that kind of wisdom and that kind of insight to determine which things to let go, which relationships to end, which ones to nurture. And it's my prayer that God would lay it on our heart that we are busy doing things that are not only significant today and tomorrow and the rest of this year, but in eternity. Some time ago in my life, a very difficult time, Just about everything you could think of was going backwards, and on top of that, my wife ended up in the hospital. There's a lot more detail to that story, but on top of everything else, and the bitterness that I was dealing with, she ended up in the hospital for probably about a week. Things were not great. And so in one of the trips to Lubbock that I made by myself, I prayed to God for a very, very long time. And the answer I received at that time, I almost thought it was an insult. I said, God, what do I need to do to fix this? What can I do so that things stop going backwards in my life? And so I was expecting this long communion with God. And I've never received a shorter answer in my life. And he says, concern yourselves, concern yourself, me, with the things of eternity, of value in eternity. A very short and a very powerful answer, one that affects me to this day. James 1, verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I spoke with a brother outside just now between the services, and he said he had been looking for that verse for years. He said, I know that that's what the Bible says, but why is it so difficult to do? And I think it's because when we ask, see, we can read this verse, ask and it will be given. But unless we have the faith in Christ, the faith in our God that we need to have, then it's almost meaningless to us. So I would encourage us to pray, ask in faith, and according to this text, you will receive. The last point for this morning is foresight, looking ahead. Paul learned from the past. He did his best he could in the present, but he lived each day with a hope for the future. A future of gaining Christ and knowing him better. If we consider what it took for Paul to get to know Christ, his life was turned upside down. He had to give up everything, all the knowledge he thought he had, all the seniority he might have had in the community if it was the case. That meant nothing. That was rubbish in order to gain Christ. Paul lived each day with a hope for the future of obtaining that righteousness, not through the law, but of the one that comes through the faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul looked forward to the future of reaching the goal, the mark, the prize that God had set before him in his life. I know that as we plan the year, there are many variables, many choices that we have to make. They are not the same for all of us. We don't do the same thing, we don't live life the same way, and that's okay. But regardless of who you are and what you do and how you do it, there is a choice that you will make daily, either consciously or subconsciously. We choose to walk in obedience with the Lord, and we choose not to. That is your option and my option this morning. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus is having some conversation, some dialogue with his disciples. After he asked them, well, who do they say I am? And it was Jeremiah, and so on and so forth. In this same conversation, Luke 9, 23, Jesus turns to his disciples and he says these words, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross daily, and follow me." If anyone desires. This isn't something you're obligated to do. I would suggest that you do that, but it's not something that Jesus is going to force you. If you choose to follow Christ, if you make that commitment every morning when you step out of bed, then we need to do what Paul did. He put aside all the wisdom he had, his righteousness that he had gained by fulfilling the law, or so he thought. That was garbage. We need to do the same thing. We need to let God's word speak to us. I don't want anybody going home this morning saying, "Well, the pastor said I need to forget everything my parents taught me, everything the church taught me." Because you'd only be half right if you did that. But if you leave here today with the intent of doing what Paul did, is crucifying yourself, putting self aside in order to win Christ, then I need not be worried and it will be well with your soul. Many people today would say that they are walking with Christ. Love him so much, he's my Savior. And their actions tell a different story. It's been that way in my life. Paul gave up everything that he knew, everything that was ingrained in his mind as a child, in order to understand Christ, in order to gain Christ. "I count it all rubbish in order to win Christ." That's a pretty good trade on his part. Rubbish for the knowledge of Christ. For closing, I'd like to encourage us this morning as individuals, as a church, as the body of Christ, to be joyful in the God that we serve, to get to know him better in the coming year or years, if God allows it, and then seek ways to serve him better. And if history has taught us anything, if we've learned like Paul did by looking back, we can go into the new year and expect a few setbacks. Things are not going to go your way every day. Probably some of the bigger things that you wished would happen maybe will not happen. But God is faithful. And if you fall, get back up. Put your faith in the same God that has brought you here today. Your life is a testament to the fact that God is faithful, that he cares for you, and he will continue to do so. Eagerly look forward to what God has in store. Philippians 3, our text verses, verse 13 and 14, "Forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." The German Bible uses the word gem or pearl or diamond, something rare, something very of great value. And Paul says, "I'm pressing on toward that prize." And that is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. As we go into the new year, there are many things that we don't know, many things we don't have control over. Politics is one of them, unfortunately. And so I could eat a good lunch if I had a dime. For every time in the last 2 months, I've heard somebody tell me how concerned they are with who's going to get reelected. And I'd have to pitch in a few dimes if I did that. What's the economy going to do? What's the weather going to be like? Lots and lots of different things that we don't know, that we're not certain of. But according to the Scripture, by the grace of God, through His love for us, there is one thing that we can secure. Among all the chaos and the nonsense, there is one thing that we do not need to worry about. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a message in itself, and we're not going to go there today, but I want to encourage you to do that if you haven't done so. Jesus can be and should be in your heart. He should be the Lord over your life and over your soul. And as such, among all the chaos, there is one thing that we can be excited about. One thing you can be certain of is if we're committed to Christ, He is our Lord and Savior, and we choose Him daily, then we know who is in charge of our eternity. I wish you a prosperous year, physically and spiritually. But I want to urge you to not make the same mistakes that I continue to make. When you plan, make room for God. Make room for God in your plans in the new year. Live each day for Christ as though it's your last, but plan for an eternity with Christ Jesus in His glory. Could we stand for a prayer?